Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and video show which brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Hey, if you're new to the channel, please subscribe so you won't miss a new episode. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted and privileged to have a conversation with Duncan Grossart. Duncan, welcome to the program.
Hello, Fritz. Delighted to be here with you today. Thank you.
Now, Duncan, I'm going to share a little bit of your background with the audience. You are a zoology graduate, a lifelong conservationist, former director of the European Nature Trust. You also most recently founded the Journeys with a Purpose, which we'll talk about extensively during our discussion. But before that, involved in a number of conservation and preservation initiatives, rewilding Europe, rewilding Britain, but also something I found quite interesting, the Tunza Games, a wildlife conservation game app, and Mint Images, where you're creating the world's finest collection of commercial imagery to lay to the environment. But let me start off with something which I really was interested in. You're trained as a zoologist. First of all, what is a zoologist, and how did that connect you becoming a lifelong conversationalist? Sorry about that.
Thank you, Fritz. So to sort of lead in with this, and you know, what's my journey in through to becoming a zoology graduate? So I'm British. I'm born and bred in the south of England, and I grew up in the countryside, and I grew up surrounded by a range of animals and pets that particularly my mother encouraged us to have whilst we were growing up. And it gave me a sort of great love of nature as I was growing up through my early years and my teens. I think I was also lucky enough to be born at a period when David Attenborough's series about planet and planet Earth were coming to the fore. And also Jacques Cousteau as well, beginning to explore the underwater world. And in fact, my first pet, a tortoise, was called Calypso after Jacques Cousteau's boat. So I had a great love of wildlife and animal life as I was growing up. And that's what then led me into becoming a zoology graduate, the study of animal life. Whilst I was at university in London, I also studied a master's degree in Ireland, particularly around equine physiology and management, which was another great love of mine, studying horses and so on and so forth. So that's really the sort of foundation, and I'm a big believer in that, you know, how we grow up, how we are informed and educated, and our relationship with the natural world in early age really helps us establish that strong rapport. So we'll come on obviously to what I do now with Journeys with Purpose, but I'm a real believer in young education, youth education, around establishing our positive relationship with the natural world. So I hope that sort of sets a bit of a scene on what I do and my background.
Yeah, but I'm also interested to see how you got there, because if I read your bio, and I got the feeling I only covered half of it, is you seem to be a man with a purpose who has tried out a number of different ways to get where you are. So it seems like you have a very clear North Star, but you meander more or less around different initiatives to get, this is where I have to, I want to do this.
I think that's a very good way of framing it, is that I feel like I've got a stronger North Star than I've ever had. I have always had a passion for the natural world and conservation. I am a fellow of the Zoological Society of London, which I joined from a fairly early age. But my career has really been split into two halves, most of which I've worked for myself. So the first half of my career, I did my academic studies, and then I basically wanted to understand business a lot better. I worked for a couple of companies. I enjoyed that to a certain extent, but really resolved that I wanted to work for myself. And so the first half of my career was primarily engaged with building a media and photography agency, of which I'm another, you know, great passionate advocate for is visual imagery. I'm slightly dyslexic, so actually working in the visual world sort of really helped me. And that agency became reasonably successful. We had offices in London, in Germany, in North America, and distributors all over the world. And it also led me to travel a lot. So it was really building that business, understanding international business, technology, creativity, and so on and so forth. And along that journey, I also realized how little I knew about business, being a zoology graduate. So I put myself on a series of courses at Cranfield. I spent some time at MIT in the US as well, and eventually joined an organization called Young Presidents Organization, I think, which really helped me understand, you know, what I could try and do with some of that success. And so I exited that business about 12, 13 years ago. And I then, what I think of as started the sort of second half of my career at that point is getting back to my roots around the environment and sustainability. And I've had a series of initiatives since then. So I hope I've encapsulated the sort of first half, which has been more around of my career, more around commerce and understanding how business works. So I've got a, you know, I've got a business brain and learnings from that, which I've then been able to transfer into what I've been doing over the past 12, 13 years. Yeah.
I got that. Thank you for sharing that. Now, you alluded when you said, hey, as a zoologist, I didn't have any business training. That alludes to a question. What are the bumpy roads? What were the mistakes you made along the way? So I learned from this. Now I have to do something about that.
Okay. So in terms of the mistakes and learnings along the way, I think in like any business, particularly a young business that, you know, we grew, is there were many, there were manifest. And I think one of the lessons I learned from that and studying business and trying to be a student of business as well is to really focus on some core principles, like having a really strong North Star in one's business and understanding that, you know, the plan goes in a straight line to that North Star, but of course there are many twists and turns along the way. The other thing that I believe in that I carry forward is that despite or whatever a business plan says, the success of a business is the sum of the parts of the people that you have in the team. And actually, that's the thing that I'm most proud of that I built in my first business was the caliber and quality of the team. Because as we all know, running organizations, if we have good people around us, and whether that's a commercial organization or a charitable foundation, is that that derives our success, as long as we have that bright shining North Star and a strong business plan and strategy to follow it up. So I, you know, probably the mistakes are too numerous to number, but I think it's all about people, good people, who believe in that passion that you have for the goal.
Okay, now Duncan, we're definitely going to end with journeys with purpose. That's quite curious, but one of the things you've also set up is the Tunza app.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, it's an example of an execution of your North Star, your guiding principle.
Mm.
Could you take us a little bit what that app game does?
Okay. So to follow on then from you know, embarking on a not a new path 12, 13 years ago, but something that was much more centered around what I really strongly believe in, is that I explored a number of avenues, and I've also tried to help other people along the way. So this actually came out of mentoring a young graduate student at London Business School a number of years ago now, called Richard Milburn, whose idea this is, and he is the founder of Tunza Games, along with another business partner. And I think he was looking for some help around business structure, strategy, relationships, and so on and so forth. So I identified this, and again, it comes back to the person foremost, first and foremost, rather than the idea, as a really good opportunity for particularly, again, young people to understand and engage with nature conservation. So that is the founding principle of Tunza Games, is to educate, gamify how people can engage with understanding how conservation works and what are some of the challenges within it as well. So I'm incredibly proud of Richard and the small team that he has to be able to make that manifest with some of the games through Tunza Games. But the credit really is to him, and his co-founder.
But your involvement was
So I chair the business, yes, and yeah. And give him support. And you know, he's a wonderful character. He's also involved in looking at how we can exploit or explore, I should say, some of these opportunities through some of the larger organizations, particularly within the UK, whether it be a state institution such as the MOD, or indeed, you know, through schools and other areas as well, is how everyone can engage in nature conservation. Because I think, as you're aware, there are also, you know, there are, I suppose, training programs, coaching programs for people in the wild, for rangers and officers, to help with nature conservation on the ground.
Okay. Now, sometimes you do feel that we have a situation where one of the questions, do we need to save the planet? That becomes quite a political, polarized discussion every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it mildly. Do you want to explicitly have that discussion and awareness in your face, or should it be like a normal course of action for us?
Mm-hmm.
So are you taking the explicit or the implicit approach to get where you want to go?
Okay, so I personally take an explicit approach. That's what, you know, we'll come to where I devote my time to now with Journey the Purpose and another organization that I also found at the beginning of this year called Rewilding Europe Travel. It's the question is, you know, do we want to save the planet? I frame it more, do we want to save ourselves? Because actually on timeframes, if you look further forward into 50,000 years, 500,000 years, the planet will be fine. The planet will reset itself after, you know, whatever the Anthropocene period has thrown at it. It's really about our own preservation and well-being here. And of course, I think we have a duty of care to the sentience of other creatures as well. I'm a believer in deep ecology. I'm a believer in sentience of all life. And I think we have, you know, such powerful methods and machines at our disposal that we do have a duty of care to the life and world around us, which we are not exhibiting very well currently.
But you also touched on something else, and I'm partly trained as a geologist myself, so I understand your idea of, you could say, the time skills for, as far as the Earth is concerned. The Earth will survive, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But we're not saving the planet, we're saving ourselves. Maybe we should realize that that's the narrative we should be talking about. The planet's going to take care of itself at the end of the day.
Yeah. I think so. But it's heartbreaking to see individual species become extinct.
Yeah.
And they will never come back again. You know, there will be new species emerging, but it's heartbreaking to see species and populations diminish at such an alarming rate. So, you know, one can say, well, let's look after ourselves as best we can because the planet will sort itself out. I don't buy that either.
Okay.
You know, we have a tremendous duty of care, you know, both physically and morally as well, ethically, for the world around us and the natural world.
Now, this is the segue to Journeys with a Purpose. What are you trying to achieve there?
Yeah, so let me give you some background on that as well. As you say, I've been involved in a number of initiatives. I was lucky enough, exploring my way to my North Star about 4 or 5 years ago, walking through the door of this theme of rewilding. And it's absolutely captured my imagination. So to be clear on rewilding and ecosystem restoration, it is the long-term, large-scale restoration of ecosystems where nature can begin to take care of itself once again. That's broadly how it can be defined. There are other ways of sort of framing it, but it's basically taking care and restoring of large habitats, both in the terrestrial and the marine environment. So I became involved in a number of activities, initiatives, fundraisings, events, media, and so on and so forth, and also some travel experiences as well. Now, What I believe in is that we can sit in an office and understand intellectually what needs to be done around climate change mitigation, habitat loss reversal and biodiversity and so on. And we can understand it. That's our rational brain engaging. But I'm a believer in engaging our emotional heartstrings on working towards restoring habitats. And to me, that comes from engagement on the ground, direct experiences in the wild with nature and with the local conservation team leaders and communities. So that was really the principle behind Journey for Purpose. I'm lucky enough to have traveled throughout my life, both personally and professionally, and it's had a profound experience for me. I've done it from my teens. I know how important it's been to me. So I created Journeys with Purpose in 2019 to do just that, is to create conservation experiences in the wild where people can understand some of these large-scale rewilding projects with the world's leading conservation leaders. And we are really focusing on the top and leading and emerging rewilding ecosystem restoration projects around the world. And that's what we are doing right
okay.
now.
So that's your destination?
Sorry?
That's the destination, those rewilding projects. Who's your audience?
So the audience for Journeys with Purpose are principally looking at people who I can describe as who can pull big levers. And that may be through a series of means. It may be through financial means. It may be through philanthropy. It might be through media, politics, corporate power. It's people who can pull big levers. So, I mean, you're aware that I've just recently come back from Argentina. I can give a bit more sort of texture and color on that.
Yes, please,
but
please,
that's the specific audience. You've also said about that's the destination, that's the physical destination. It's not really the destination for the company or the mission of the company. But again, we can come on to that. Travel is our medium, but our mission is about getting people into nature so they understand what needs to be done and then getting them to act. That's what we're really driving, is action from people.
Okay, so this is not about, you could say, your normal travel agency where you could say one list, okay, let's go to Spain to the beach, and the other list, no, it's going, let's go to that say nature park, very dedicated audience you're aiming for.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in if you like, designing Journeys with Purpose, I thought long and hard about putting the right foundations in place. So Journeys with Purpose became B Corp certified at the beginning of this year. It's also a member of 1% for the Planet, which was founded by or co-founded by Yvonne Chouinard of Patagonia. And we're also a member of something called The Long Run, which is a travel membership association. But it is, you know, we are a travel company, if you like. But I always say to people, we're a mission-led business where travel is our medium. And that is key for me, because there are travel companies that are engaged in some conservation initiatives or journeys, if you like, but that is not what they've been founded for. Journeys with Purpose is founded for the mission.
Yeah, so it's the means, not the purpose, the traveling.
Exactly. It's a way of engaging, basically restoring our relationship with the natural world. So I talked about that with younger people, but actually we as adults as well need to re-engage with what the natural world means too.
Okay. Now, as mentioned, just came back to from Argentina. What happened?
Okay. So we organized a group of guests, 14 in all, and we traveled to Argentina in about the middle of September, and we went on to visit a national park in the northeast of Argentina called Ibirá, and met the team there, led by an organization called Fundación Rewilding Argentina, which is the leading rewilding foundation in Argentina. And we understood and learned what they were doing with their work out there. And it's a remarkable story of creating a new national park over 1.8 million acres. Over the course of the past 10, 15 years in an area of wetlands where most of the key species have been extirpated and killed off. And those included the apex creature, the jaguar. And at the beginning of last year, they reintroduced jaguars into the park after a 70-year absence, which very much mirrors the 70-year absence of wolves from Yellowstone. And so it's a remarkable story of bringing life back into this remarkable landscape of jaguars, macaws, anteaters, deer, and all sorts of our other wildlife, and understanding the process that the team had to undertake to go through that journey of not just the groundwork around, how does one weave together a provincial park, a national park, private lands, into creating this greater park area, but it's also working with the communities. It's working with the provincial government, the local municipalities, and the national government as well, and understanding how do you introduce an apex predator back into an environment where there is still cattle ranching after a 70-year absence. So I'm summarizing within a 2 or 3 minutes the depth of the journey that we undertook over the course of the week with a remarkable team out there. And it really was, for me personally, it blew me away, but I think the guests, it was a once in a lifetime experience. And I think it was everything that I wanted it to be and more. And the credit goes entirely to the local Rewilding Argentina team. They're doing a stunning job. So that's an example of a journey that we have just done. I've shared with you in the past as well. We are rolling out our journeys in Europe, in the Carpathian Mountains in Romania. That'll be in June next year. We're also looking at a project, a large-scale project in North America, in the American prairies, and then also in Africa around rewilding the Great Karoo in Southern Africa. So these are emblematic journeys, scheduled departures. On the other side, we're also doing more and more bespoke journeys as well for inquiries that come in for us around handmade, tailor-made journeys for families, couples, groups of people. I hope corporates in the future, where people want to understand an area, a country, and the conservation within it.
I can also imagine that once you have gone on a journey, that you've effectively created a community that people are going to stay, they're going to stick
Yeah,
mentally. Yeah.
absolutely. That's a huge aspect of what we do, and going forward from here. And I'm like you, Fritz. I'm a huge believer in creating communities of kindred spirits. So it's incredibly important to build that community, build that momentum, build that group of like-minded individuals, and create a sort of shared learning space, if you like. And what was really important for me in creating and curating the group that came to us with Argentina is that I don't want people to come and lean back and just listen to what's being said. I want them to lean in and challenge the conversations and enrich the overall experience for everyone around them. Because, being generally high net worths or people in media, people in business, these are high achievers generally. And so, it's wonderful being in that environment of people who are driven, who want to see a better natural world, if you like, for us all. And that's what we experience. So it's about building that community out. And I think we're just beginning our own journey on that. But I can already see, sort of paint a picture, if you like, in the future of what I can see with that, and make that really powerful.
Got that. Hey, Duncan, question here. In helping to set this up, what were the biggest learnings or even failures or mistakes you've realized you made along the way, which you want to share with people so they can avoid them?
Okay, so I'll start with an easy one, which is not really relevant to your question, but starting a business engaged in travel shortly before COVID, was it the best or the worst time to start it? I think actually in hindsight it was great, because I think people are more aware of what's going on with the natural world. In terms of what works, what doesn't work, is I think what I've learned about what works is it comes back to people again and again and again, whether it's within your team or outside your team. It's We all know with business or any enterprise that it's messy. You know, you have a plan and things don't go according to plan. But if you have that strong identity, that strong brand values, principles, and direction you're heading in, the team will figure it out. And I'll go back to as well the foundations of Fundación Rewilding Argentina and also their counterpart in Chile, which came out of Tompkins Conservation. And Doug and Chris Tompkins, and Doug says this, is that, you know, he often, you know, would resource a team and then let them get on with it, because a good team will find a way, as he was traveling throughout the world. You know, I'm more hands-on in my business, but I believe in people and good people. In terms of what doesn't work is perhaps a lack of perseverance, mm-hmm. and determination and resilience, and thinking that you're alone as well, because you're not. It's trying to find a way. You know, running an organization or founding an organization is an emotional roller coaster. You know, and it covers a gamut of different things, whether it's, you know, people or finances or a whole host of other constituent parts. And things are always going to, you know, come off the rails at some point or another. And I think it's incredibly important to have a support around you to be able to take you through those times. Now, if you don't have that, that is what doesn't work. So, you know, I would always say is find the people, the resources, the support to help you through your journey. Make sure you have enough capital. I think that's really important. But you know, from here, I'm probably going through the same chestnuts that you've been through with other people before. I don't
True,
think
although
any sort of,
yeah, your emphasis risk on people, I find that to be quite relevant, because surround yourself with great people. Also, when things don't go as planned, as predicted, then you have something to fall back, and then you're not alone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because it's not just a mental challenge, but it's emotional challenges as well. And you know, I take succor from looking at how other people have dealt with that, who have had, you know, huge means at their disposal, like Doug and Chris Tompkins, who fought for years against great odds to achieve what they achieved in Chile and Argentina with their local foundations. I mean, a crazy array of obstacles, including death threats at some time, and it's that perseverance, that resilience, you know, being true to your principles and core over the long term is really important. Because as you know, as the saying goes, it's a funny thing about overnight success. It takes years to get there. And it is so true. So, you know, whatever one is engaged in, whatever journey or target is persevere, be resilient, and stick close to your family and friends, and give them time. Give them back your time as well.
And demonstrating tenacity. That's also what I hear you say.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Now, okay, you're not there yet, but I still want to ask a question, because given you're so strong, you could say present North Star, how do you want the world to remember you?
I'm not sure I want the world to remember me. I think, and Fritz, you haven't given me any guide on the questions that you would fire at me. So if I stumble a little, bear with me. It's not really about me. It's about the world around us. And actually, you've asked such a good question there, because one of my guiding lights on my journey has been Chris Tompkins, and meeting with her and her expressing how you can give over yourself to something that is other than oneself, and to do things that are not in one's self-interest. It's very empowering, because I think in today's society, we are, and we are encouraged to be, focused on what is, you know, doing things that are in it for ourselves. Yeah. And of course, we need to do that. We need to earn a living, a livelihood, and look after our family and our communities. But actually, we should be looking out to do things for other people and things other than ourselves. And so if I can leave the world with, you know, more of the natural world protected and restored, I'll be very happy indeed, because this is our home. And it's not just about the tangibles of restoring and looking after our natural world. It's about a sense of feeling and being in harmony with our world. And there's a lot of discomfort in the world right now. You know, we have conflicts, mm-hmm. we have bad things, you know, and that has been through human existence. But it seems to be particularly tense at the moment as resources, natural resources, we understand are beginning to dwindle more and more. Yeah. And we've got to husband these.
Yeah. It sounds like you have there's a short term and a long term focus. Short term, we have a couple of very significant conflicts. But yeah. Long-term focus should be on the fact that we have natural resources depleting, and we need to think about the long-term, how we're going to recover on that.
Yeah, we absolutely do. I mean, we have our conflicts that are going on currently, but they are absolutely dwarfed by climate change and habitat loss. Yeah. Yeah. These are existential crises. If these trains run out of control, and they are actually. Nothing else matters. Yeah. Nothing else will matter.
Now, what additional, and you've already given us great advice, surround yourself by great people, be aware of your North Star. What other advice would you want to give to young managers starting on their journey?
Keep exploring, keep venturing. Be brave. Be brave and confident whilst remaining humble. Don't fall into the trap of hubris and thinking that you did it all yourself. You've been helped along the way and probably had a lump of luck as well, and you need to look out for that in the future. And yeah, keep exploring, and don't, you know, keep true to yourself. So I hope that has helped a little. It's perhaps a little bit broad. I mean, exploring mentally, exploring, you know, physically, explore the world, understand cultures, celebrate diversity. I'm a particular champion of female leadership as well. I think we need more ladies and women in positions of influence and leadership, and that's something we particularly explore with Journeys with Purpose. So be brave and be confident, yes.
Good lesson to end this conversation with, Duncan. I want to thank you so much sharing with the world what you're doing with Journeys with Purpose, where it started. And I hope you're going to help us for years to come, because you're gaining the insight why we need to do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed, Fritz. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. A platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.